Lord, keep me safe till the storm passes by. I want you to open our Bibles this morning in the book of Deuteronomy and the chapter number 7, the 7th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And can I thank you for the invitation to come and your pastor for the kind welcome that he and his family have given to me since once again coming to visit you here. I pray that God will richly bless them and bless you as you fellowship and continue to be faithful to the Lord in these days in which we live. I want us to turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 7, and I'm going to commence reading at verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and Girgashites and Amorites and Canaanites, the Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them, thy daughters. Thou shalt not give unto their son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. Thou shalt destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he hath sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible truth. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee this morning, and we thank thee for the privilege that thou hast given to us to gather around thy precious word. We thank thee that thy word is truth, and we believe it today, that thy word is forever settled in heaven. We thank thee that though heaven and earth may pass away, that thy word shall never, never pass away. And O God, I pray in Jesus' precious name that as we come to thy word today, that thou wilt take thy word and write it upon each and every one of our hearts. O God, may we know something of what was experienced on that road to Emmaus those many years ago. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us by the way and while he opened unto us the scriptures? O God, I pray in Jesus' precious name that thou wilt open unto us the scriptures this day. We pray for thy sake and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. I suppose one of the outstanding sins of this generation, in this age in which we live, is unfaithfulness. In business life, in everyday life, many people are totally unfaithful. The sad reality is that for many, that a man's word is no longer his bond, and yet it used to be that whenever a person give you his word, you could always depend upon that word. You knew exactly that they meant it, that they were going to keep it. And in the social world today and in marriage today, the sad reality is this, that faithfulness is quite often cast aside just like a rotten claw. Even in the ecclesiastical world, it is also true that many men that once stood up and they said they would take a stand for God and would be faithful to God's word and would preach Christ, no matter what it cost them, And yet, sad reality is that many turned away from that. And they no longer preach the gospel. And many that once declared the gospel, sad to say, they're denying the very gospel at once that they used to declare. Now, of course, there's none of us that are immune from the fearful sin of unfaithfulness. See, the word of God says, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. And you and I need to pray that in this new year in which God has brought us into, that God will keep you as a people faithful to the word of God. That you not turn to the right hand or to the left, but that you'll take a straight line and be faithful to the crown rights of King Jesus. I trust that you'll pray for God's servant here, your pastor and preacher, Dr. Ferguson, that God will keep him faithful. Because you see, in this age in which we live, many people crave for popularity rather than being faithful to the Lord. And then we could be so easily carried away and taken away because of popularity and even the fear of man, that we lose our edge and our faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God today, we're not going to dwell upon our faithfulness. Because in actual fact, if you look around you, and when you think about man's faithfulness, you find that quite often you would be disappointed. But I want to talk about someone will never disappoint you. Someone who is known, if you turn with you in your Bible there, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, and the verse number 9, this is what it says. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, the faithful God. And I want us to think about that today, because what an attribute of God, friend. Because it is indeed essential to his being, God's faithfulness. For without it, he would not be God. It says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. He is the faithful God. And faithfulness is one of the many glorious attributes and perfections of God's being. Our brother was reading God's word in Psalm 89 this morning. And did you notice, as we're reading in that passage of God's word, it says in verse number 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generation. Then verse 2 it says, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Verse number 8. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about? Verse 24. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And over again it mentions about God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. And thank God we have a faithful God, one who never changes. Notice what the instruction that's given to God's children here, the children of Israel. Moses is encouraging his people as they're about to go into the land of promise. Thank God this time they're not going to turn back. They're going to go in. They're going to claim the ground that God has given to them, that God has promised them. And that's what I want you to do here in Singapore. I want you to claim the ground that God has promised you, that God has given you, that you go in and possess the ground. You see, sad to say, there was a time whenever they went so far, and then they heard about the giants, and they heard about the opposition, and they turned back, and they wandered in the wilderness. And many of God's children today are wandering in the wilderness because they're not going through with God. Oh, I beg you today, in God's name, go through, brethren. Go through, sisters. Go through with God, thy vows to pay, thine all upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God's very best. And so Moses is encouraging the people. He's giving the Israelites instruction regarding their behavior as they go into the land of promise. And God's word makes it clear that, you know, not only is there the blessing of redemption, but with that blessing there comes responsibilities. And those who are saved today, those who are the Lord's children, just as our brother today took a stand and owned the Lord Jesus in the front of this congregation and was willing to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, he was honoring the Lord in front of this congregation of people and saying, I belong to Jesus. I belong to him. You know, friends, being saved is not the end. It's only the beginning of the journey. Because you've got to go on with God. You've got to go in and claim the land which God has given. And there were responsibilities that they were to discharge. You know what God told them? Said, you are to be a distinctive people. You're not to be like the enemy. And I want to say to you, if you know the Lord Jesus this morning, you're not to be like the ungodly. You are to be a distinctive people. You are to be like him. For that's what God's desire is, that we be like him. That we be conformed to the image of his Son. You see, we live in an age when it seems to be so attractive today for the world to creep in among the people of God. It's not, you see, that the world is getting more churchy. It's that the church is getting more worldly. And friend, we've got to be careful. And we as God's children, we are being challenged because God here is challenging his people. You are to go in and possess the land, but remember this, you're not to go in and follow them and be like them. No, you're to be different. See, the word of God says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And then it says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I sing a wee hymn, it says, can the world see Jesus in me? Can they see by the words that I say and the deeds that I do? Can the world see Jesus in me? You see, it's not enough simply to profess faith in Jesus Christ. But friend, you've got to live Christ. You've got to live Christ before the people here around you. You've got to let them see that you are a different people. You belong to Christ. Look at verse number 6. For thou art an holy people. That's what it says. Thou art an holy people. Unto the Lord. You are an holy people unto. You are separated unto the Lord. And there is a Bible doctrine and teaching, friend, and it is that of biblical separation. And God's children are to be separated unto the Lord. And that's what it says here. For thou art an holy people. You need to know this. You are a holy people. Unto the Lord. And over again, it is emphasized concerning the children of Israel. Thou art an holy people unto the Lord. Deuteronomy 6 verse 6. Thou art an holy people unto the Lord. Deuteronomy 14 verse 2. Deuteronomy 14 verse 21. Deuteronomy 26 verse 19. Deuteronomy 28 verse 9. Thou art a holy people. The emphasis, emphasizing continually, remember, this is who thou, this is what you are. You are a holy people, separated unto the Lord, set apart, reserved for the service of the Lord. Don't try to ape the world. Don't try to have a foot, as it were, in both camps. If you're saved, friend, This is what you are. You are a holy people unto the Lord. Now, of course, how did we become that? And then God says this to the children of Israel. He says, the Lord, verse number 6, the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee. And let me tell you, isn't that a wonderful thought? That God has chosen us. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We were in the heart and the mind of God. We were given to God's Son. We were a gift to God's Son. And then in the fullness of time, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. He went to the cross of Calvary and he purchased our redemption. Yes, it says, thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, for the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be his special people. Maybe today, the world looks down upon you. Maybe the world frowns upon you and says you're a nobody. Let me tell you, friend, never let the world say that to a child of God. You're a nobody. Let me tell you, we're somebody. And I'll tell you, we're somebody special unto the Lord. You know what God says? Since thou wast special in my sight, he says, you're mine. You're mine. And though the world may not own you, maybe the world just laughs and mocks you because you've taken your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, and the world, it frowns upon you. Let me tell you, child of God, don't be downcast. Don't let the world drive you down. Rejoice. You are a special people. You know why? Because you're the Lord's. You're the Lord's child. Isn't it far better to be the Lord's child and the world laugh at you than to be the devil's child and the world embrace you? God says here to the children of Israel, he says, the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. That's how special we are. Above all the people of the earth. And then God says this, lest we get carried away. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. You see, sometimes there's a tendency as a child of God, friend, to get proud, to get haughty, and even get arrogant, and to look down your nose at the sinner. Now remember this. That's where God found you. A castaway. One of the devil's castaways. He took us out of the gutter. The psalmist in Psalm 40 says, he drew me from the fearful pit. And from the miry clay, yes, we were down there in the gutter. That's where God found us, in the gutter of sin. And God says, I didn't set my love upon you because you were better than somebody else. We're not better than others. Yes, we are special. We are the Lord's children. If you're saved, if you're washed in the blood of Jesus, if you've taken and placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, yes, you are special unto the Lord. But God said to the children of Israel, I didn't choose you because you are greater than all the nations of the world. In actual fact, if you go to verse number 1, he says, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. God says, I didn't choose you because of that. He says in verse 8, but because the Lord loved you. I loved you not because you were something different than others. No, he made something beautiful out of our lives. Thank God that's what he wants to do. He wants to change our hearts and lives and transform our living, that we might live in the fullness of victory and power and blessing. But Lord, why did you love me? God says, I loved you because I loved you. You know, I stand amazed, the hymn writer says, in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And I wondered why he should love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Why did he choose us, friend? Why did he do it? From amongst the teeming multitudes of mankind, why did God set his electing love upon us? Why did he choose us in Christ? He says, I loved you because I loved you. You see, friend, it wasn't because of anything in us. The Lord did not fix or bind his love upon us because of any good in us. It springs from God's infinite goodness and God's love, grace, and mercy. That's why John Newton put it right. Amazing grace. Oh, it's amazing that God would ever think upon us. But God not only said, listen, you are chosen, and I set my love upon you, and God says, you're my special people. But verse 9, it says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful. The faithful God. I want to tell you three simple things as we finish. God is faithful to the promises he makes to his people. See, this book is filled with great precious promises. But they're for a special people. You just can't walk to the Word of God and claim the promises of God's Word and say, that promises is mine. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a promise. We looked at that early this morning. But friend, let me tell you, that's for special people. Remember a man coming to me one night with a great problem. We discussed it together. Then he said to me something. He says, Mr. McRae, doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible that it'll all work out for good? I think I'll believe that and go on. I don't know what way it's going, but it'll all work out for good. I said to him, sir, I never read that verse. What? Is it not in the Bible? He said, my preacher told me that verse. When I was telling and sharing my problems, he said, he gave me that promise, and I've been holding on to it. I said, no, I didn't read that verse. But here's a verse I did read in the Bible. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the... He says, yeah, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. I said, sorry, sir. That's not it. Did you read the verse? And we know that all things work together for good. Listen. To them. To them. That love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. And my question was this. Sir, tell me. Do you love God? Are you called according to his purpose?
Brendy Bowen's hair. He said, my preacher didn't tell me that. You see, friend, that verse was not for him. If he didn't love the Lord. And this Bible is filled with precious promises. And God has given us precious promises. We looked at them this morning in the 8 o'clock service where we were noticing the I wills of Christ. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise and never drive you away. But it says, him that cometh, I will in no wise. If you don't come, you will be out of Christ and cast away. For then shall I say unto them, sinner, I never knew you. Depart from me, you cursed. The high will of the Lord, where he says in his precious word, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that a lovely promise? But who was he saying it to? His people. You see, God is faithful to the promises that he makes to his people because he's faithful. But friend, I asked you before God, are you in the promise? Do you love the Lord? Because if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you can't claim these exceeding great and precious promises. They're not yours. It's only those that are in Christ. It's only those who have received Christ as their Savior can claim these great and precious promises. So the hymn says, no matter what shall be the test, God will take care of you. Friend, that's true. If you love Jesus. If you're God's child, listen, God is faithful to his promises. Standing on the promises of Christ, our King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest. I'm going to shout and sing. Why? I'm standing on the promises of God. But friend, if he's not your Lord and King, if he's not your Savior, then that promise is not for you. But God's faithful to his promise. Secondly, God is faithful in preserving his people. We're not home yet. But thank God, the work that God has commenced, he's finishing. That little verse in that same chapter, in Romans chapter 8, this is what it says. Listen to what God's word says, friend. This is precious. Verse number 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Thank God he'll keep us to the end. We'll make it. Hallelujah. We're going to make it. And I don't care what the devil does, friend. There's not a demon in hell will be able to stop me getting to heaven. There's not one that can pluck me out of my master's hand. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand, man, woman, demon, or devil. There's none that will be able to take us out of our Father's hand or save. For the work that God has commenced. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 4. Just read that wee verse and underline it in your Bible. Courage yourself in the Lord, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank God. God will bring his people safely home. What a word of security. Because God is faithful. He's faithful to the promises of his people. He's faithful to the preserving of his people. Lastly, he's faithful in pursuing his people. Let me say this to you. God is faithful in what he withholds from us, as well as the things that he gives us. I look back over my life, and there are things that I desired, friend, but God didn't let me have. And maybe the old devil said to me at times, you know, God's kept you out of that. Look what the Lord has done in you. Let me tell you, friend, God was faithful. Not only in what he gave me, but what he withheld from me. Because the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But listen to this. Not only are the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, the stars of a good man are ordered by the Lord too. And sometimes God loves you enough to say no. See, a father who loves his child doesn't say yes all the time. Sometimes a father who loves his child knows it's better to say no. Or maybe he says, not yet. Why? Because he loves us. Sometimes the word of God says this, whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth. And sometimes in love, friend, God, in the pursuing of his people, has got to put the discipline rod upon us. Why does he do it? Because he loves us. You know, there's never a day that I rise. There's never a night that I lay my head upon the pillow that I'll ever be outside of the love of God. Having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. Our faithful God. Brothers and sisters, go out into 2018 with an earnest prayer in your heart. God, keep me faithful. For that's what God requires of his stewards. That they be found faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless your word to all our hearts today. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' precious name that there are those in his service and who know not the Lord Jesus. May even this morning, may they come as that sinner to Christ. Receive Jesus as our Savior. And for thy children, help them to go out into this year to faithfully serve the Lord for Jesus' sake. Amen.